I decree, your coming this morning will not be in vain, in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. I welcome you to church, online and on ground this morning. The Lord bless you and prosper you, in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. Alright, why not just give your neighbor a elbow greeting and say, neighbor, good morning, good to see you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Are you excited to be in God's presence? Don't worry. Very soon we'll go back to our normal. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. These two shall pass away in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. Alright, in the next couple of minutes, I'll be speaking on this topic. Understanding the reality and the mechanisms of divine protection. Understanding the reality and the mechanisms of divine protection. Understanding the reality and the mechanisms of divine protection is a new series that I'm starting today. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now the question is this. Is divine protection real? Is it possible? Can I be kept? Can I be saved? Can I be protected? Can I be preserved? You know, these are questions that comes up in the spirit of a man. Especially in the things that are happening in our days. Most people are asking questions. Is this real? Can it be true? Is it possible? Hallelujah. How can a man pass through? You understand? You know, sometimes when you see some of those statistics, you shout. How? You know, it does tell you 3,000 people died overnight. You say, hey! Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And then they said, he's in Lagos. And everybody is excited. Oh, we are in Niger State. Niger is still far from Lagos. Hallelujah. And you are relaxed. Then later they said he's in Abuja. And then you are asking yourself questions. Hey, Abuja? Abuja is just about 2 hours away. Hallelujah. It won't come to Niger State. This is Niger State now. Because some people even said, okay, no, it's a white man's disease. Hallelujah. Some people even said it's a rich man's disease. Praise the Lord. But all of a sudden, they just said there is a case in Niger State. Niger State is completely locked down. It's now as if it's now at your doorstep. Hallelujah. You say, hey, if this thing is like this, the way they are announcing that it's killing people. Hey, Niger State. Hey, hey, hey. But I want you to know that divine protection is real. Divine protection is certain. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. All right, let me read. I'll share two testimonies, then I'll go into my message. Let's see how far we can go in the available time this morning. Psalm 91. I'm reading from verse 1 to 7. When you get home, it's a psalm you should be reading to yourself continually. Psalm 91. I'm reading from verse 1 to 7. Hallelujah. Verse 1. Psalms 91. It says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. Verse 4, he shall cover me with his feathers, and under his wings shall I trust. His truth shall be my shield and buckler. He says, thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night. There is terror by night. He said, nor for the arrow that flieth by day. Verse 6. Nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness. Nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand. But it shall not come near thee. Hallelujah. Are you excited? You know, sometimes when you read Bible, and you read some of these promises, it looks as if there are things that are far away. It looks as if there are things they wrote to comfort us. As a matter of fact, sometimes when we come to church and pastors are preaching from this kind of scriptures, you have a feeling somewhere in your mind, hallelujah, that they are just trying to strengthen our spirit. And just trying, they are just trying to do motivation. Hallelujah. You have a feeling that it's just in the pages of the Bible. You have a feeling that, I'm not so sure. It's possible, maybe it happened. Sometimes, you know, some people even doubt whether it happens. That's how people go. Some people even say, was there ever a King David? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm one of the people that believe that Psalm 91 was actually written by David. Why did he write the psalm? Is divine protection real? Can God still preserve? Can God still protect? Is he real? Are angels real? Do they still interfere in the affairs of men?
Can people be brought back and rescued from the jaws of death? Truly, can a thousand fall by my side and not come near me? Hallelujah. You know, these are questions that keeps popping up. Hallelujah. And in this time, people ask me questions. Hallelujah. If this thing happened, if it happens the way it's happening in London, if it happens the way it's happening in Italy, what will Nigerians do? Do we have the facility to sustain it? So many questions. And you know that most of those questions are coming up from where? From a fear that is eating somewhere lurking in the heart of the man that is talking and asking those kind of questions. Hallelujah. But I'm here to let you know this morning that divine protection is real. And divine protection is what? It's certain. And divine protection is what? It is sure. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. When I was thinking of how to introduce my message this morning, the Holy Spirit just took me back to a testimony you know so well. I've shared it with you times with that number. And you know, the Holy Spirit, because he told me that that testimony is a destiny-defining moment in your life. That's what he told me. He said it's a destiny-defining moment in your life. And that's why I can't forget it. And I've discovered that every time I share that testimony, the power and the aura of heaven goes out, encourages people, strengthens people, and rescues them from the jaws of death. And what is that testimony? Hallelujah. All right, let me share it once again because that's what he told me. And I'm sharing it too. Then I go into my message. You know, in the book of Acts of the Apostles, chapter 4, verse 20, Apostle Peter said something very interesting. Look at what he said. He said, "For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." When you go down, other translations said, "The things we have handled, the things we have touched." He said, "We cannot." He said, "There is no way you will tell us that we should shut up and stop preaching about Jesus." He said, "We dined with him. We know him." He was not just talking from the knowledge he read in the Bible. He was not talking, as a matter of fact, there was no compiled Bible like this in their days. They were acting out the Bible for us to read. So, you know, but he was telling them something. He said, "What I am telling you is what I have heard, what I have seen, what I have handled, what I have tested. I am not talking from just head knowledge. I'm talking from where? From epignosis. The things that has happened to me. I am talking from an experience of the Spirit. I'm not just making mouth. I'm talking of things that have happened to me, things that I've handled, things that is real." Hallelujah. And that's why I said, you have to understand the reality of it. It is real and definite. Hallelujah. All right, permit me to share that testimony with you once again this morning. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Remember, I've shared it with you before. When King D, hallelujah, was 5 months old, we just gave birth to him that time. He's a big boy now. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. When he was 5 months old, we went to greet my parents from Mina. We went to Ilori to greet my parents. And then we went to greet them, to see them. And for the first time, you know, they came for the naming ceremony. It was our firstborn. So we took the baby there. You know Yoruba people now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You won't bring the child to come and greet us. So we went to Ilori to greet them. And then we spent about a week with them. So afterwards, a day before we were to travel back, my father said something. He said, "Let me take you to my pastor." Hallelujah. Don't joke with your pastor. He said, "Let me take you to my pastor. Let him pray for you." And then we got there. We went there. We got there. We met him. We knelt down. We greeted him and all that. And my father introduced us once again. He didn't attend our wedding, but he conducted the Thanksgiving and all that. So we greeted him. He was excited to see us. Then as we were leaving, he prayed for us. In the moment of prayer, he just collected King D from my wife. And he looked at him and he began to pray. And one of the unique prayer points was, "Lord, I rebuke the spirit of death over this family." I looked at him. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Said, "I rebuke the spirit of death over this family. Your journey is safe. Your journey is secure. You go where you arrive where." He prayed and prayed. And then we left. And the following day, we're coming back to Mina. Hallelujah. Ilorin is just about a little, almost 400 kilometers or thereabout from Mina. We're on our way to Mina. When we got to a place called Kutigi, we just discovered that there was a long queue of vehicles. There was an 18-seater bus in front of us, and in front of it, another 18-seater bus and all that. So our vehicle was the last on the queue, a 505 station wagon then. Hallelujah. The guy just bought it. That was his first trip with that particular 505. So the driver came down, and the man in front came down. We were sitting in the middle. We occupied the middle seat. My wife was carrying King D on her leg. And they were both sleeping. I was reading. I sat. I was reading. Hallelujah.
And then the driver went out to go and check what happened. And then he came back and he told us, he said, a tree fell across the road. And that a very mighty tree fell across the road. So they have brought some people, and those people were trying to saw the tree, break it into pieces, so that they can drag it away from the road, so that people can pass and people can cross. Hallelujah. And then he said, so we'll just wait here for some time. So he went. All of a sudden, I just saw he was coming back and was shouting on top of his voice, what is wrong with this car? What is wrong with this vehicle? Won't it press his brake? Won't it press his brake? I was wondering. Then I looked back and I saw this 911 tanker carrying petrol, fully loaded. All the light, all the headlamps were on. Hallelujah. And it was coming on top speed. And you could notice, because it was a very sharp slope, you could notice that he has lost control of the vehicle. And he was coming at a tremendous speed. I said, Holy Spirit. I dropped my bag. I dropped the book I was reading. I opened the door. I collected the baby from my wife. I tried to pull my wife out of the vehicle. As at that time, the truck was so close. I dragged my wife. We were on top of the bridge. And then all of a sudden, what I could just notice was as if we were in the sky, suspended and flying. Hallelujah. The thought that was coming to my mind is probably, I fly away, oh glory, we are flying home. Hallelujah to glory. Probably we are going to heaven. And all of a sudden, as if a plane was landing gently, we were dropped one after the other inside a river path. That river path has dried up, but it was still wet, but the river was no longer flowing because it was just the beginning of rainy season. And then the guy just laid us there as if we were sleeping. And I looked up, I was facing the sky. I saw Kindi on my chest crying, and my wife beside me. And I looked up. Then it occurred to me that we were moved and we flew and we were kept in that place. And I opened my eyes. I couldn't believe it. Then I tapped my wife, and then Kigri started crying. I held him. I took my wife. Then by that time, the tanker has hit our vehicle. The people at the back and all that. The tanker hit our vehicle. Some assaulted and exploded. And there was fire everywhere. So we started running, following that path, running through the path that there was water. So there was fire on both sides, but we were on that path where the water was, and we kept running and running and running. And you know, the path just looked like this aisle before me. And we ran a long while into the bush. And after some time, we got towards the source of the river, and the fire couldn't burn towards that place again. Hallelujah. Then we climbed out, and then we looked for a way back to the main road. By the time we got back to the main road, more than 30 people were burning. Not that they are burnt. They were burning. People were running out of fire, burnt all over. I've never seen it. It's a gory sight. Very terrible sight. But here we are, lifted by the hand of an angel and rescued from death. So when I tell you that angels are real, I'm not talking from a perspective of what I read in my Bible. I'm telling you, I'm talking from an experience of what I have seen, what I have handled, what I have felt. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm going somewhere this morning. Now listen carefully to my testimony. Now the second testimony is the testimony of my daughter here, Mary. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, every time I remember that testimony, my whole body developed goose pimples. You know, there are things you see in home video and you think they are just exaggerating. Hallelujah. You know, she just had malaria and just took her to the hospital, and they said, the temperature is high, this. And they admitted her. And they admitted her in the hospital. And she was there. But I now noticed something. So every time we check on her, we'll go there, see her and all that. We pray with her, crack jokes, then we leave. Say, okay, maybe by evening they will discharge. Following day, how far? They said, when they were about to be discharged, the thing came back. What thing came back? Said the temperature came back, this and that. And then it kept on and on and on. 1 week, more than a week, ordinary malaria. And thank God I know the doctor. So one day I went to that doctor and we were discussing. Hallelujah. And I said, sir, what exactly is going on? Every time you want to discharge her, the doctor said, my brother. The doctor happened to be a pastor, he's a missionary. And he said, my brother. I said, sir, he said, we have checked and tested everything. He said, every test we carried out, every parameter are within the normal range. He said, my brother, you should understand the meaning of that. Hallelujah. So you know it looks like home video. When pastor is telling, when doctor is telling you now that the parameters are within normal range, we don't really know what is happening. That's what the pastor was telling me. Hallelujah. And then we said, okay, no problem. And then I told the pastor, the doctor, discharge her. He said, okay, no problem. So they discharged her, we went home. So the following day, I went there, I picked her and the husband. We came back to the hospital, another hospital. And they conducted tests. They too told us that everything is within normal range. Ah! So I told the husband, I said, at this junction, we should know what to do. Hallelujah. We prepared the communion. We went, bought communion, prepared it, gave it to her. By the following day, we were on top of the mountain, myself and the husband. And we began. I think we were there for about 3 days. We kept going every day. Early in the morning, we are on the mountain. We pray sometimes 2, 3, 4 hours. Come back, pray for her, lay hands on her again, then go. Hallelujah. And you know what tripped me? Was that after some days, she said she had a dream. And in the dream, I think she was attacked. Was it a steak or something like that? Or chicken. I think they had 2 chicken. Hallelujah. And then she had a chicken and somebody else brought a chicken. And the chicken began to fight. And every time they have been defeating her, but that night, her own chicken killed the other chicken. She woke up. Every symptom disappeared, vanished. And she's here, alive, well, and able till now and beyond. Hallelujah. So when they tell you, you watch over this, there is witchcraft somewhere. There is this. No. Hallelujah. But you know, in all these things, the Bible says we are what? More than conqueror. So why did this man write Psalm 91? That's the question you ask yourself. Why did he write it? What happened? What were his experiences? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And can those experiences become our own experiences? I'm going to be showing you 5 things quickly that God can protect us from. 5 things. I want you to know them and believe them. If I can't finish the whole 5 today, no problem. But look, there are things that God can protect you from. That's why I told you, it's not motivational speaking. This one is not. I'm telling you the reality of scriptures. I'm telling you the reality of things that I've seen. I'm telling you the realities of things that I've experienced in the spirit. Hallelujah. That's why when David sits down and David writes, you should understand that it's not just writing. It's writing from an experiential point of view. That is an epignosis. That is something that is beyond the natural knowledge. Beyond the ordinary knowledge. It's things that he has experienced. So let me quickly show you some of the things that God can protect you from. So that when you go out, you have it in your mind. You have it as a mindset. You know it so well in your spirit that it cannot touch me. Hallelujah. So when I read Psalm 91 and I said 1,000 can fall at my side and 10,000 at my right hand and it will not come near me, it is the picture of that accident that I'm seeing. Hallelujah. So I'm not reading it like you will probably read it. I'm reading it from experience of a man that has come out from the jaws of death before. Hallelujah. But so what are those things that we can be protected from? Number one, your life can be protected and kept from the reach of death. So number one thing that you should know is what? Your life can be kept. My life can be what? Protected. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. In the book of Psalms 91 verse 3, he says, surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. What is the snare of the fowler? Hallelujah. The snare of the fowler. What is a snare? A snare is a trap that is set for a bird to trap him. A fowler is a professional bird catcher. He catches birds. He sets traps to trap birds. So when David said this, why did he make that statement? Now let me show you why he made that statement. 1 Samuel chapter 19 verse 1. 1 Samuel chapter 19 verse 1. And 1 Samuel chapter 23 verse 14. Quickly. 1 Samuel chapter 19 verse 1. Now listen carefully to this scripture. It says, and Saul spake to Jonathan his son, and to all his servants, that they should kill David. Hallelujah. That what? They should kill David. That they should kill David. He placed a price tag on the edge of David. As a matter of fact, anyone that can kill David becomes a hero. The same way David killed Goliath. Hallelujah. They placed a price tag on the edge of David. Hallelujah. Can I paint the picture for you? If Donald Trump send out assassin to go and look for you, where will you hide? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, I was reading an article in the course of the week, and that article said something very interesting. It was talking about how Saddam Hussein was killed. Do you know? Sorry, not Saddam Hussein. What's the name of this other wicked guy? Osama bin Laden. Hallelujah, was killed. That article said they killed 7 people that impersonate him. Do you understand? 7 people that look like him before they could actually get to him. What does that mean? They did everything possible till they got him. Hallelujah. So Saul said, anyone that can kill David will become my assistant. He placed a price tag. He sent out assassin against David. Hallelujah. Now look at 1 Samuel chapter 23 verse 14. 1 Samuel chapter 23 verse 14. Protection is real. It doesn't matter who is against you. It doesn't matter what is coming against you. Protection is real. Protection is certain. It is a reality. And I want it to become your reality. 1 Samuel chapter 23 verse 14. The Bible says, and David abode in the wilderness in stronghold and remained in a mountain in the wilderness of Ziph. Now listen carefully to the concluding part. The Bible says, and Saul sought him every day, but God delivered him not into his hand. Hallelujah. I was reading a Bible commentary, and the Bible commentary says Saul spent about that 40 years on the throne. And out of the 40 years, he spent 17 years hunting David every day. Do you understand? How many years? 17. Hunting him every day. I'm glad to let you know. Hallelujah. How many months has COVID-19 been shouting? Praise the Lord. You are kept. You are preserved. 17 solid years, he kept on looking for David, strategizing, paying people, sending out assassins every blessed day, but they couldn't get him. Now listen carefully. It is possible for your life to be kept. It is possible for your life to be what? Preserved. Reality of what? Divine protection. That same Psalms, that same 1 Samuel chapter 19. Let me read from verse 10 to 12. Look at one of the instances. And Saul sought to smite David, even to the wall, with a javelin. But he slipped away out of Saul's presence, and he smote the javelin into the wall. But David fled and escaped that night. Verse 11, 1 Samuel 19, 11. Bible says, Saul also sent messengers unto David's house to watch and to slay him in the morning. Do you understand that? He sent hired killers to go and watch his house so that they will kill him in the morning. Who are those people that he sent? They are the professional who are slayers. They are the fowlers. Hallelujah. He set a trap for him, and they were mounting guard around his house in order to consume him every blessed day. But look at what happened. The Bible says, and Michal, David's wife, told him, saying, if thou save not thy life tonight, tomorrow thou shalt be slain. Verse 12. So Michal let David down through a window, and he went and fled and escaped. Hallelujah. Do you understand that now? So when David tells you that he delivers him from the snare of the fowler, he said, my soul has escaped from the snare of the fowler. This is what he's talking about. He escaped. When there was a trap, when it looks as nothing can work, when it looks as if no man can escape, David escaped with his life. Can you imagine being hunted every day for 17 years? For 17 years. For a man to be looking for you every blessed day. Just because he's angry. Just because he wants to kill you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It doesn't matter the noise of the enemy. I want you to know that your life is not in his hand. Do you understand that? Hallelujah. He didn't give back to you. He cannot take a life that he didn't give. He cannot take a life that he didn't create. Hallelujah. So your life can be preserved. What else can be preserved? Your home and family, number two, can be protected from demonic attacks. Your home and family can be protected from demonic attacks. Your home and family can be protected from demonic attack. 1 Samuel chapter 19, verse 18 and 24. Hallelujah. This is one of the things. You know, when I finish showing you all this, I'm now going to show you
I'm showing you now the reality. And then after the reality, I will show you the mechanisms. So that you put these mechanisms in place. And as long as these mechanisms are in place, you know what? You walk tall with your head high, knowing full well that death can't consume you. That's the confidence I want you to have. It doesn't matter the noise they are making. Your home, your family can be kept. Now look at this beautiful one. At the time, something happened. Saul knew where David was, so he sent out hired assassins directly. Now listen carefully to this scripture. You know, so you know nowadays when we hear of hired killers, we think that it's something that just started. No. Thousands of years ago, they have been operating using hired killers and machineries. Praise the Lord. Now look at what happened here. Verse 18. 1 Samuel chapter 19, verse 18. It says, so David fled and escaped and came to Samuel in Ramah. Take note. They came to Samuel in Ramah and told him all that Saul had done to him. Now look at what Samuel did. The Bible says, and he and Samuel went and dwelt in Naoth. He came and met him in Ramah. But Samuel, immediately after hearing that story, took him and said, no, we are not staying here. We are going to a place. It is called Naoth. And they went there. Now look at verse 19. And it was told Saul, saying, behold, David is at Naoth in Ramah. Verse 20. And Saul sent messengers to take David, hired killers. And when they saw the company of prophets prophesying, and Samuel standing as appointed over them, hallelujah, he said, the Spirit of God was upon the messengers of Saul, and they also prophesied. Hallelujah! They came to the house of the prophet in order to kill David. And they got there and they started prophesying. Demons started jumping out of them. All their weapons, they dropped it. They started prophesying. They joined church. Hey! They just joined church. They just started shouting hallelujah. And everybody is looking at them. Now, it didn't stop there. Now, look at it. Verse 21. And when it was told Saul, he sent other messengers. He said, ah. He took them back to his Baba. He said, those ones I sent, Baba, you didn't do that thing you are supposed to do very well. So he took them back to the Baba so that they can refortify them. So he released another set of hired assassins. The Bible says, and they prophesied likewise. Every time they step into that zone, they began to prophesy. Every time they step into the house of Saul, they began to speak in tongues without anybody laying hands on them. Look at it. And they prophesied likewise. And Saul sent messengers again the third time. And they prophesied also. It's not a mistake. First time, he thought it was an error. Second time, you know it's not an error. Third time now, you know this thing passed their power. So Saul said, no problem. Hallelujah. I know what to do. Now look at it. Verse 22. Then went he also to Ramah and came to a great well that is in Sheku. And he asked and said, where are Samuel and David? And one said, behold, they be at Naoth in Ramah. Verse 23. And he went thither to Naoth in Ramah. And the Spirit of God was upon him also. And he went on and prophesied until he came to Naoth in Ramah. Verse 24. And he stripped off his clothes also and prophesied before Samuel in like manner and lay down naked all the day and that night. Wherefore they say, is Saul also among the prophets? So, you know, when he got there, he thought, look, leave those boys. I know what to do. Hallelujah. Have you heard this before? He said, when you want something done, you don't send boys. You go yourself. Hallelujah. So he went himself. And this time, when he now got there, you know those ones, they just dropped their weapons and started prophesying. When he stepped into that zone, what happened to him? The Bible says he removed his crown. He removed his turban. He removed his cloak. He removed his shirt. He removed his trouser. They are looking at it. What's wrong with him? Samuel said, leave him. He removed his singlet. And they were looking at him. They said, sir, king is running mad. He said, leave him. Hallelujah. Then he removed his boxer. Samuel said, leave him. You know, when God wants to deal with enemies, he knows what to do. He naked him and disgraced him. And his own didn't stop there. The Bible says he prophesied all day. Then it was not enough. He started all night fasting and prayer. For Saul. But the question is this, what happened? He entered into a zone. And the zone is called Naoth, the house of prayer. Naoth, the house and the dwelling of Samuel. It's possible for your house to have that experience. It's possible for your house to become that Naoth. It's possible for COVID-19 to just pass in front of your house and say, we don't visit those places. Hallelujah! It is possible. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It is a reality. It is a possibility. And it will be so in your life in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. So what else can we be preserved from? What else can we be protected from? We'll continue from here next week by the grace of God. The Lord strengthen you in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. I want you to rise this morning as we begin to pray. The Lord, let divine protection become my new reality every day of my life in the name of the Lord Jesus. Why not open your mouth as you begin to pray? Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, I decree and I declare that from today, let divine protection become my new reality in the name of the Lord Jesus. Let divine protection become my reality in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. Let it become my reality. Let it become my reality in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. Let it become my reality. Let it become my reality in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. Lord, let it become my reality. Let it become my reality in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. Why not begin to pray? The Lord, from today, my life is preserved.